Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talk, some Combo Breaker 99, and I'm back with another episode with y'all. This ain't going to be a real long episode because I'm actually on the go, so I'm doing this show on the go. Actually, not in my office, so I don't really have time to, you know, actually put everything together this time. Just some things that I wanted to discuss with y'all. Y'all see the picture here. You know, it's fight week coming up once again, and we got some good fights coming up. You know, Friday we have LFA. Then we have the Invicta FC card on Friday. Then, of course, Saturday we have the flyweights coming up. Three flyweight fights, you know, which I talked about on a live stream. But just want to go back and talk about the Valentina Maia fight just a little bit. You know, is it a challenge or is it a mismatch? Can Maia pull off the upset? Just some certain things like that. And the main topic I wanted to talk about, too, is after seeing the strawweight fights last Saturday, this topic just kind of popped in my head, especially after watching Corey McKenna and Kay Hansen. You know, real quick, I just want to talk about commitment, you know, and why it's important to stay, you know, committed to yourself in this fight game. You know, if you, like, if you fall off that path, you can just lose it, you know. So just a real quick topic there, and, you know, a little bit of talk on the Bob Arum and Bud Crawford topic. I want to talk about that, and course give you all the highlight finish for this episode as well. But last weekend was a good weekend of fights, you know, good strawweight fights. Random Marcos versus Kanako Murata, good fight. That was a good solid win for Murata, pushing her forward. Then of course you got Ashley Yoder. She got a good win over Miranda Granger. Uneventful win, but it was necessary. You know, she needed that win to stay in the UFC, in my opinion. And then you had Corey McKenna versus Kay Hansen. You know, two young fighters, 21-year-olds that wanted to go in there and really make a big statement. But what I wanted to just bring up about this fight, and just like I said in general, my topic today is commitment, is the fact that after watching Corey McKenna and Kay Hansen, you know, throw down, and then of course, shout out to Robert Henry because he brought this up in a video about a pre-fight interview with Corey McKenna, where she brought up the fact that she didn't want to steal Kay Hansen's shine. You know, it just kind of put a question mark over my head because I was just like, huh. I was like, why are you saying this? You know, like, why do you feel like you don't want to steal her thunder or steal her shine? You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like you're committed to, you know, being the better fighter in there, which it kind of showed in her performance. You know, I know a lot of people feel like Kay Hansen lost the fight, but in my opinion, I feel like it was closer. I picked Corey McKenna to win the fight, but I felt like it was closer because I feel McKenna, she took too many chances in there, didn't fully showcase the skill that I know she was capable of over a much slower fighter like Kay Hansen, more one-dimensional fighter. I mean, this fight could have been one-dimensional where it could have been a fight where she just picked her apart from the outside, but instead she was meeting her in the middle, giving her too many chances to clinch with her. Give Kay Hansen chances to clinch with her and wrestle with her and take her down and put her in, like, you know, dangerous positions where, hey, the judges could have gave it to Kay Hansen, you know. So I just felt like after hearing that interview and seeing the performance, I felt like Corey McKenna didn't really seem committed. And, you know, moving forward from here, she has to understand, and, you know, this is to all fighters, you know, or anybody doing whatever it is they do in life, you know, they just got to understand they got to stay committed to what they want, you know. And commitment is partly dedication. I mean, I did a boxing podcast about dedication. You know, I feel like whenever you want to do something for yourself, you know, you really have to stay committed. You can't let anything distract you. You know, and I feel like one of the distractions for Corey McKenna going into this fight was, like, being worried about stealing her thunder, stealing Kay Hansen's shine. You know what I mean? Because she said that. She said, I don't want to steal her thunder. Like, I mean, maybe she meant something else by it. If she did, hey, tell me what she meant. But from hearing her say that, it just made me feel like she wasn't ready to, you know, make that big statement and dominate an opponent like Kay Hansen and get her out of there, you know, because, you know, Kay Hansen is kind of seen like the UFC favorite. But at the same time, you're there for the same thing, you know. So that's why you get to the UFC. That's why you do martial arts. So that's why you compete in martial arts, is because you want to be the best. So moving forward, you know, I feel like fighters, they just have to stay committed to themselves. You know, they have to make that commitment to say, I got to stay on this path. I can't get distracted by, you know, money. I can't get distracted by women or men, or I can't get distracted by the cars, the fast life. But you also can't get distracted by another opponent's feelings. You know, you can't get distracted by another opponent's feelings, or, you know, the machine behind another fighter. If you're there for, if they're there for the same purpose as you are, then hey, this is a competition. You know, I got to be the better fighter. I got to take it. You know, we're there for the same thing, but I got to do that one thing that pushes me over you, so I can get that. You know, so I just feel like fighters now, they really have to understand what committing to the sport means. You know, it does mean pushing a lot of feelings to the side, you know, a lot of emotion to the side, and really just going for you. You know, and I think fighters like Valentina Shevchenko, they really understand that. You know, Valentina, her main focus is to go into the sport and be competitive, accomplish goals that she, you know, that she set for herself, become a champion, but at the same time come out of there intact. You know, she wants to come out of there with her brain intact. She wants to come out of there being able to talk. She wants to come out of there the same way she went in. She wants to be physically okay. You know, she wants to inflict punishment on her opponent, but she wants to take care of herself. And that's the mind frame you got to go in there with. You know, she knew from day one that's what she wanted to do. She stayed committed to that, you know, and she stayed dedicated to it from day one. That's why Valentina is the champion she is today. You know, and I think a lot of fighters who get astray early on, you know, they might fall off that path because they say, okay, I'm worried about how this person feels. I'm worried about taking this person's shine. Well, if you're like that, then you're not totally committed to what you wanted to do, you know? So I feel like a lot of fighters out there, they have to understand what commitment is. You know, they have to understand what it means to be a fighter. You know, they have to understand what it means to be a mixed martial artist, what it means to be a boxer, you know, before you go in there, because it's like a marriage, right? It's like, you say, okay, I'm done living the single life. You know, I want to be with this one person. I want to be with this one person forever, right? So that's a big commitment. You have to understand that everything else, all those other outside influences, you know, what your parents say, what her parents say, you know, you can't let any of that bother you. If you really care for that one person, if you want to stay committed to that one person, you can't let the other temptations of other women or men bother you. You know, you can't let that stuff distract you. You have to stay committed to that one person. You know, you can't say, oh, okay, I care about my ex-girlfriend's feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings, so I'm going to stay friends with her. No, you can't do that crap. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing here in this sport. You got to stay committed to it. You can't say, oh, I'm worried about another person's feelings. I'm worried about taking their shine. No, that's what you're there for. You're in the same division, going for the same goals, so you got to take it. You know what I mean? If you don't take it, they will. I'm sure Kate Hansen didn't feel that way about Corey McKenna. You know, I'm just using these as an example. You know, I'm not trying to bash Corey McKenna, but, you know, I just feel like a lot of fighters, they don't stay committed, and they don't stay committed to that path of, you know, going for the goal. They get sidetracked too much. So I'm just kind of using that as a perfect example as of now. But, you know, there's a lot of fighters who aren't staying committed to the game. You know, whether it is stuff like this where you're thinking about your personal feelings, you know, you're or with somebody else, or you're thinking about the money, the fast life, and things like that. You know, you see a lot of fighters on Instagram right now, a lot of the women's mixed martial artists on Instagram now, who seem to stay more committed to social media than they actually do the fight game. You know, they're actually putting in everything just trying to be seen and getting views versus putting in hard work in the gym, you know. And they can say, oh, I go to the gym, I do sparring, I do my training. But do you go all out? You know, do you give it your all? Are you giving it on that same level of a Valentina or Amanda Nunes? Are y'all really in there with the same intensity as them? You know, that's the question y'all need to ask yourself. So, yeah, that's just something I want to kind of talk with y'all about is commitment. You know, I see it in different ways where people kind of fall off the path. But, hey, you got to stay committed no matter what it is. You know, you can't think of another fighter's personal feelings. It's a rough game. It's not a pretty game. I mean, even if you look at the business side is corrupt as hell, but there's a lot of people that still want to fight and do what they do. But remember, if you're going to be in it, then you got to be in it for you. So stay committed to yourself and stay committed to the path that you choose. But yeah, man, moving on to the next topic here, talk about Bob Arum and Terrence Crawford. As you know, Bob Arum, he had a choice of words about the future of Terrence Crawford's career, and it kind of points to why there's been so many hangups and delays and any potential fights with any of the top welterweights that Bud needs to really solidify his status at 147. I mean, I'm a person who thinks Bud is one of the best pound for pound skill wise all day. Skill wise, you know, he's second to none. When it comes down to skill, he definitely has some of the best boxing skill, and I regard him as one of the, if not the number one boxer when it comes to skill. But now that you're a welterweight, you know, these skills need to really be put to the test. And I feel like, I've always felt like this, but I always kind of felt like Bob Arum was just kind of keeping him from these other welterweights. You know, they're always making it seem like it's other guys on PBC. There's Al Haymon. They don't want to make these fights. But the more and more you look at it, it's like, why is it taking forever just to make a breakthrough fight for Terrence Crawford? He's been the WBO champion for 2 years now. You know, you can get these fights with guys like Kell Brook, Amir Khan, Benavidez. But why can't he get fights with the guys that, you know, hardcore fans, even casual fans, are demanding, you know? And like I've always said, it really just came down to, like, my feelings about the methods of Bob promoting Terrence Crawford. And now we actually get real words, you know, Bob Arum speaking on Terrence Crawford and how he should promote him. I mean, or how he should promote himself and how he's having trouble promoting him and how he's losing money on it. Because if we go back to Twitter, you know, I saw this was right after the Crawford Brook fight, you know, over the weekend. And Bob Arum had this to say. He said he's got to promote himself like Teofimo Lopez. He's got to promote himself like Shakur Stevenson, like Floyd Mayweather did, like Manny Pacquiao did. If he doesn't, then who the F needs him? He may be the greatest fighter in the world, but hey, I ain't going bankrupt promoting him. And to me, right away, those just seem like some very harsh, disrespectful words for a guy that's regarded as one of the best fighters in the world. You know, he's a four-division world champion, and people do see him as one of the best boxers in the world. So why aren't you doing your damnedest to promote him? That's the question. Like, why are you kind of putting it all on him? And in another video, I'll talk about Dana White, because Dana White, he had some words about this. I mean, he went in on Bob, called him an OB and all of that. You know, he just went in on him and was saying the same thing, like, okay, he may not be making sales, you may be, feel like you're losing money, but that's not all on Terrence. Maybe some of it is, but it's up to you to promote him as a promoter, because that's what your job is. That's why a fighter goes to a promoter, because a fighter, okay, they have to promote themselves, kind of like the WWE as well. You know, they have to have sort of a flamboyant personality, be somewhat of a character to get out there, but that's not really their job. That's the whole point of promotional companies. Because if Bob feels like Terrence needs to promote himself, then there really is no need for top rank then. You know, I tell all fighters on the come up now just to be free agents. They don't need you. They don't need promotional companies. You know, because if Manny and Floyd, well, let's talk about Floyd. See, Floyd, if they really are promoting themselves, then they'll do like Floyd. You know, Floyd realized that. Floyd said, hey, I don't need top rank. I'm leaving. You know, I wish Manny, he would have realized that too, because Manny, there came a point. He's multi-division world champion. If he would have realized it early on in his career, he could have said, I don't need you. I don't, maybe for a certain amount of time, you know, just to kind of push me over to American waters and things like that, and, you know, help me get promotion that way, you know. But other than that, when I start getting these belts and getting these big checks, then I don't need you anymore, you know. So there comes a time whenever a fighter may need a promoter in the beginning, but after a while, when you do all the hard work of, you know, winning championships in multiple divisions, then there really is no purpose for you no more. Because if Bob feels like he needs to promote himself, then hey, yeah, you don't need him. You're just the middleman. Hey, get out of here. So when it all comes down to it, Bud, like he said recently too, he responded. He said, well, if he feels that way, just release him. Then Bud should just say, okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's just get out of this contract. And I don't know why he re-signed with him anyway. Was it earlier this year when his contract expired, he re-signed with Top Rank? You know, to me, that was just kind of like lazy thinking. I'm just being honest. That was just lazy thinking, because as a pound-for-pound fighter with multiple championships in different weight divisions, it's like, okay, there comes a point where it says, hey, I did all the work. Why do I have to keep putting in money to help you, to get you to help me out, quote unquote, you know, when you're not really doing anything anyway? Because think about it. Bob Arum really isn't doing anything for Terrence Crawford. You know, he isn't really doing anything besides putting him on ESPN, where, you know, everybody wants to see him over on PBC. You know what I mean? So he's not really doing anything for him. I mean, when it comes to Lomachenko, they're in similar situations. Okay, Lomachenko, he's also not a personality, but for some reason, Bob really wants to push him, right? You know, it seems like Bob really knows how to push a Eastern European fighter. You know what I mean? Even without the personality, like Lomachenko, he'll still go out of the way and say Lomachenko is the best fighter since Ali, which we know is not true, but he'll still say some crazy stuff like that to put a lot of his fans' eyes on him, you know what I mean? To really help build up his fan base. But whenever it comes to somebody like Terrence Crawford, he says stuff like, oh, I'm losing money. You know, he'll say like, oh man, I don't want to go bankrupt with this dude. Like he also said this, the question is, do we want to keep him? I could build a house in Beverly Hills on the money I've lost on him in the last three fights, a beautiful home. Nobody questions Terrence Crawford's innate tremendous ability. By beating a naturally bigger guy in Brook decisively, that is a big statement that he's making. The question is, does it pay the bills? Well, look, you can have the greatest opera singer in the world. If the fans don't support it, you're out of business. Okay, so yeah, we know that. And you know, I was just likening that to that before when I thought of how Bob promotes him. And then when I was like, okay, Terrence is doing all the work, really, you know, because he's winning the championships. You know, he's not actually getting pushed out there, you know, like if he really had a committed promoter. So there came a point when I say, oh, Terrence Crawford needs to be a free agent because he's not getting the right push anyway. You know, so what he's saying, it works like that with record companies, you know, but with boxing, when a fighter has a belt or belts, all eyes have to be on him because he has something other boxers want. You know what I mean? So he can't really, it's similar to the record company business, but at the same time, it's not. You know, so when Bob Arum puts him in a championship fight with Jeff Horn and he wins that belt, okay, Terrence Crawford has something everybody wants. You know, this ain't music. So if the music's bad, nobody's going to listen. But if the music's good, people will listen. But in this situation, the fighter, whether his personality is loud or quiet, people are going to want to fight him because he has something. He has that belt. You know, he's got that championship belt that somebody's going to want. So Bob really needs to promote him like that. You know, he's got to say, okay, this is the best welterweight right here. So, you know, all eyes will be on him unless you're placing the shadow over this person or you're trying to leave his career near dormant, you know. And to me, Bob, he should know this. You know, he's in his 80s. He should know this. But at the same time, I just kind of feel like he doesn't know how to promote, you know, some of these black fighters today. Just being honest, you know, I feel like he still doesn't really know how to push guys like Terrence today. And when you look at the top-ranked roster, you know, a lot of guys, Eastern European fighters, they get a little bit more shine, like Lomachenko. Because, hey, look, Lomachenko, quiet personality, multi-division world champion, considered one of the best pound for pound, but why is he calling him the best since Ali? But why is he not saying, yo, this is the best guy over here since Sugar Ray Robinson? You know, why is he saying the same thing? He's not giving him the same shine, you know, when they both are equally, you know, as quiet in their personality and achievements, you know. So to me, it's almost like Bob is kind of holding him back, you know. If a more popular welterweight is on the scene, like Errol Spence, it seems like you would really be trying to link that guy's name to him all the time, or, you know, showing up at his fights, really trying to get at him. But at this point, with the way Bob has kept Bud's career, I think he's really just keeping it at a plateau. And I think Bud should move on. You know, because in one breath he says Bud is not promotable. You know, then Bob will say, oh, nobody wants to see Bud fight Porter. What kind of sense does that make? You know, what sense does that really make? Okay, again, he says Bud's not promotable and he's losing money off of him. But then when like a reporter or boxing media says, hey, Bob, how about we get a Bud Crawford fight with Sean Porter? And then he says some stuff like, who the hell wants to see that fight? The fans want to see that fight. There's a lot of fans that want to see Bud Crawford in there with Sean Porter. So it's not like Bud's not promoting himself. You're not promoting him because that's a good fight to make. You say that the fans don't want to see a Porter fight, but a Porter fight is something that we all want to see, you know. So with that right now, man, Bud, his best option is to not re-sign with Top Rank, of course. And, you know, I saw the latest, too, about, you know, Bud's attorney, you know, speaking on their frustration with Top Rank and not getting the recognition, not getting the big fights or what they needed, and trying to finish their contract out by, what, October 2021. And hopefully if that happens, you know, he becomes a free agent. And, you know, he takes those words from Floyd Mayweather. Like he said, you know, Floyd Floyd said Terrence should have been a star. You know, he should have been on his own. He should have been left Top Rank or never been with Top Rank, you know, which is truthful. Because, you know, Floyd said he set the blueprint for all these young up-and-coming fighters, you know. So I don't know why a lot of people didn't want to take that, why Terrence didn't take that. Because at this point, you know, Bud, he could do the same thing. He could do the same numbers he's doing now without Bob. You know, it's like that saying, well, I could do bad by my damn self. You know, he could do bad by his damn self, like literally bad. You know what I mean? Like if he wanted to do those disappointing numbers, he could do them by himself. But at the same time, he could still make more money because it would go in his pocket without the middleman, you know? So it really just comes down to moving forward for Bud. It really just comes down to thinking of his own best interest, you know. Consider the free agent world. Like Canelo recently did, you know. Canelo said, hey, it ain't about the money, it's about the legacy and fights. And, you know, Bud continues to talk about, hey, I solidify my legacy, I'm going into the Hall of Fame and whatever. But at the same time, being at welterweight, if you want big fights, you know, you got to go on that path by yourself, not re-sign the Top Rank, and just move on from there. And that's advice to a lot of young fighters out there, you know. A lot of young fighters out there, you need to go ahead and say, hey, can I do the same things I'm doing without a promoter? Maybe not. You know, sometimes there are fighters that need promotion, you know, in the beginning, you know, there is a lot of fighters that do need that promotion. But there comes a point when you say you grow into your own man and you say, okay, I could do this myself and cut out the middleman, you know. And that's where Terrence, he kind of flubbed that up. You know, he kind of flubbed that up somewhere in his career, where he could have just said, I could do a Floyd Mayweather move now, get it myself. I don't need Bob no more, you know, because you don't really hear a lot of the guys on PBC side talking bad of Al Haymon, or, you know, saying that they don't feel promoted right. They're getting what they want, you know, they're getting what they want, you know, in the ring, out the ring, whatever. But yeah, man, let me know in the comment section what y'all think of this whole Bud situation, man. Like I said, I'll talk more on it again, because, you know, Dana White, he had his words, and I just kind of want to do a video just talking about that, as far as, you know, mixing how Dana promotes the UFC fighters versus how Bob kind of promotes certain fighters on his side in boxing. But yeah, man, moving on too, man, here we go. It's fight weekend, you know, Valentina versus Jennifer Maia. Not going to spend a long time on this. Like I said, I talked about it on live stream already. But going forward here, you know, shout out to Jennifer Maia. You know, I was just looking at the little UFC type countdown video on YouTube last night, and just kind of seeing Jennifer Maia, you know, speak of getting this title shot, you know, upsetting JoJo Calderwood and setting this up for herself. And, you know, just seeing Valentina still put the same work in and how she talks as a champion. And I know the question that not a lot of people are asking is that, will this fight be a challenge? And, you know, honestly, I have to say, I don't think it will. You know, I don't want to be disrespectful and say there's never a chance a fighter can pull off the upset, which, you know, a fighter can always pull off the upset. There's always that chance, you know, depending on how the champion shows up or whatever, you know, if they have an off day. But, you know, moving forward, I have to say that this is another solid fight on why this is going to be another solid fight on why Valentina is where she is and who she is, because of commitment. Back to that thing, you know, Valentina is that fighter that stays committed. I mean, just from the jump, like when you see her talk about the sport, why she's in the sport, the way she lives her life, everything she's doing is kind of like almost adjacent to the martial art, whatever, even like the things she's not doing, like whenever she's shooting, you know, she goes out to the range and she's shooting, you know, even whenever she's doing that, it's like building up her focus. She's always got her mind focused on something, you know, even when she's with her sister, you know, she's with her trainer, you know, they're always making moves to kind of like sharpen her skills as a person. And I think that's why she succeeds so far in the fighting, is because it's not just fighting. It's not just throwing punches. It's not just taking blows or giving out blows in one of her fights. You know, it's more than that. You know, I think she just kind of likens it to sharpening herself up. And that's why I always say, like, self-preservation is her number one thing and defense is her number one thing, because she's testing herself and making herself better. You know, she's not giving her opponent any openness. You know, she's committed to making sure she's okay. And if you always go back and look at some of the best fighters in the world that come out untouched and undefeated, or, you know, intact, you know, brains intact and everything, then you gotta understand why. You know, you'll know why, because these fighters are really in. It's not wrong to be selfish when you're in there, but yeah, they really are selfish. You know, they're thinking of themselves, and that's what it is about Valentina. You know, that's what it is about her, and that's why I say moving forward into this fight. Do I see it as an upset? Somebody had asked me that online too one day. They were like, do you see this fight is going to be an upset? I was like, no. I see Valentina winning this fight, and it's all because of her commitment. But I'm not saying Jennifer Maia is not committed, but there's just levels to it. You know, like I said, I watched this little documentary, you know, the little UFC countdown, and, you know, I think Jennifer Maia is a cool person. You know, she's dedicated to the sport as much as she can be. You know, I like watching her training too, because, you know, she's trying to put her all into it. But I just think that Valentina, hers goes to another realm. It goes to another realm, like I said, where it's mind, body, and spirit, you know. And I just say that because you really get the feeling like Valentina is really preparing herself, you know, just for life. Like, the way she fights is how she kind of lives her life, you know, where she wants to make sure she's always sharp and at her best and getting something out of it. You know, you want to get something out of it. Because, like, I think in one little interview, she stated that one thing she does is that she fights. One of the reasons she fights because she fights for legacy. You know, she fights for legacy, wants to accomplish something. There's got to be something to it. And like I said, you'll always see that difference in fighters. Like I mentioned earlier about, you know, commitment, even with Corey McKenna, you have to know early, you know, why you do it. You know, if you're not committed, then you'll get sidetracked and you'll just be a fighter. Okay, I just fight to fight. Okay, well, you'll never be a champion. Valentina, she wants to be the best, so it's all focused on her. It's all committed to her. Everything she's doing, she stays committed to it, and that's why she's champion. But yeah, like I said, I still think this is going to be a solid dominant win for Valentina. I think that Jennifer Maia does have some skill in here, you know, that she may show in, like, maybe in 2 out of the 5 rounds, if it goes 5 rounds. But, you know, I just want to give her credit for taking the fight as well. You know, I know a lot of people, even in comment sections on these videos, you know, they're just like putting Jennifer Maia down. But I'm like, yo, she's taking the fight. She's taking a fight. And that's part of winning the battle right there. That's giving your chills. That's giving yourself a chance at winning the belt by getting in there. You know, she wants to take that chance. So, like, she's closer to the belt than JoJo is. She's closer to the belt than Roxanne is. You know, so you got to give her that credit. You know, so I can't bash her and say, oh, she's going to get killed, or oh, this girl ain't nothing, or this is going to be a one-sided fight. Because if you talk like that, then you're kind of putting down your champion. You're saying your champion's fighting bums, you know. So give the person some credit. Because all the people that are putting Jennifer Maia down will get their ass kicked by Jennifer Maia. Let's put it that way. You know, so credit to the warriors that actually want to do it. Credit to Jennifer Maia. And again, for everybody saying Jennifer Maia going to get her ass kicked because she ain't no good. You know, it's people just saying, oh, she ain't good or she sucks. You know, y'all would get y'all ass kicked by Jennifer Maia. And that's to the men, too. Just being real. But like I said, I feel like Valentina's just a levels above her. Levels and levels above her. And she is going to win this fight. You know, and it's all to staying committed. But yeah, man, moving on. Here we go. Highlight finish of the episode goes to Kerry Melendez from last Thursday, Bellator 252. Her first round submission via rear naked choke over Emily King. If y'all don't know, I already did my post-fight analysis of that. I just wanted to give Kerry Melendez this spotlight today for this episode. Kerry Melendez, she went in there and just dominated with her stand-up. She dominated with them straight right, beautiful straight right hands down the pocket, really knocking Emily King back, who had no defense. Cracking her with those right hands as she came in. I heard one of the commentators say she got her head knocked back like a Pez dispenser. You know, common thing, but yeah, it did look like a Pez dispenser at one point. When that right hand cracked her in the chin, Emily King looked like a Pez dispenser because she ate that right hand. But she just kept eating these right hands in this fight, you know, storming right into Kerry Melendez's work zone. And then after that, there was some points where she switched levels to the body, you know, tagging Emily King straight to the body in that first round. Then she stung her with another right hand to the body that hurt her, had her reeling back. She finished it off with a knee to the body, dropped Emily King, jumped on the back, locked in that right arm up under the neck, got the rear naked choke, made Emily King tap. So yeah, very solid performance by Carrie Melendez. She's got power in both hands. She's now 5-0, and moving forward, I think that, you know, she's going to be a, I think she's going to definitely be a danger, a threat to some of these other up and coming Bellator fighters in her division. But yeah, man, shout out to Carrie Melendez. Just wanted to give her that highlight finish for this episode. But yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this one, man. Like I said, I'm looking forward to this fight weekend coming up. You know, we got the Invicta FC card, 8 o'clock tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow on our UFC Fight Pass. Then at 9 o'clock Eastern time is the LFA 95 card. So check both of those out on the UFC Fight Pass. So I'll be going back and forth, but I'm gonna really be focused on the I just blanked out. I'm gonna really be focused on the Invicta FC card. Yeah. But yeah, guys, like I said, man, for this episode, I just wanted to speak on committing. And same with life, man. You know, whatever it is you're trying to work on, or whatever it is you're trying to get better at, you know, I'm even telling myself this, is that you got to stay committed to it. You know, you can't let any other distractions get around you. Whatever it is you're working on, like if it's this channel I'm trying to stay on the grind with, I'm staying committed to it. You know, I can't let other outside distractions keep me away from it, or worried about what other people are saying about the channel, like they don't like it. You know, if other people are doing, you know, stealing stuff, like, then I just got to say, oh, I got to keep doing me. You know, I got to just stay on that straight path, you know, stay committed. So whatever it is you're trying to do in life, you know, that's to my subscribers, that's to the fighters out there, anybody doing whatever it is that they want to do, for real, just stay committed. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this episode, guys. Like I said, I'm on the go, just dropping this episode in with y'all. I'm going to put it out tonight as I get on the grind here. But yeah, man, make sure y'all follow and subscribe here on my YouTube channel, of course. Thanks to my new subscribers. Follow me on All Boxing Everything Instagram. That's for all the boxing fans. You know, like I said, I'm going to start doing more boxing videos on this channel. I'm going to call them All Boxing Everything segments. So yeah, this is going to be a channel with MMA and boxing talk. It's combat sports. You know, it's going to be boxing and all that. So right here. But me and my partner's channel, The Jab Effect, make sure y'all subscribe to that YouTube channel and subscribe to The Jab Podcast. You know, I post that on some of my videos. Just subscribe to it. If you know, get into boxing, check out The Jab Podcast. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all of that, man. But yeah, man, definitely gonna come back with some more videos this weekend. Like I said, I just want to drop this in on y'all, but still some more things I want to just talk about with y'all, man. But like always, man, whatever it is you're doing, stay committed to. I'm out, guys. Combo Breaker 99. Make sure y'all subscribe. Peace.